You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. Restoration family, I'll be honest. Sometimes it's hard to know what to say in a moment like this, where it feels like we're on the edge of an earthquake. We're 2 days away from an election that will have ramifications not only for the days ahead, but for generations to come. And on top of that, we've been 8 months now into a global pandemic. We're feeling the weight of not being able to see our family and friends the way we want to, of not being able to worship together the way we want to, and we have anxieties and fears that many of us have never even known in our lifetime. And I know that you are tired. And so it's hard to know what to say in a moment like this. You know, we planted Restoration on January 22nd, 2016, one day before the inauguration. So we have never existed outside of the contentious world we find ourselves in. And so because of that, we've done our best to tackle some topics and difficult issues that these moments have brought up from the perspective of Jesus and his kingdom. Topics like racism and white supremacy and political idolatry and loving our enemies and our call to kindness and compassion, even to those with whom we disagree. And have we been perfect in this? No. There's things I would say differently. There's things I would say more of, and there's probably things that I wish I would have said less. But I pray that you know and believe that Jesus is restoring people who restore the world, and that you know and believe that our mission, our calling is to join him. And so with the election here now 2 days away, I pray that if you've been a part of Restoration for any amount of time, from the very beginning, if you've come just in the middle of this pandemic time when we're not even having services, I just pray that you know one thing for sure, completely and finally to be true, and that is that Jesus is Lord. And not just simply Lord of our spiritual lives, not just Lord of our afterlives, but the Lord of this life. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right here and now. You know, the early church knew that when you said Jesus is Lord, this is a dangerous statement because it wasn't just a spiritual confession of faith. When you said Jesus is Lord, by definition, you were saying that Caesar is not. And so today, we too make this declaration in this moment with clarity and conviction that Jesus is Lord and Donald Trump is not. Jesus is Lord and Joe Biden is not. And no matter the outcome of what happens in the days ahead, nothing can shake this truth, my friends. Nothing can shake this truth. I pray you know this. I pray that you believe this. But my message today, it's not some sort of rallying cry. It's not a stump speech. I know that you and I, we've been bombarded by political ads making promises and painting opponents in the worst possible light. You are tired of that. I am tired of that, and I can't wait for it to be over. Now, I sense for you and me that what we need most right now is just the calming assurance of what doesn't change. In a time when it can feel like everything is always, always changing. We need the hope that the Bible speaks about in Hebrews chapter 6 when it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Anchors embed themselves in immovable objects that when storms come with great power, when they come our way, we don't ourselves move because we have an anchor in something that cannot be moved. And the promises of God, the scripture says, are our anchor. They hold us fast in the midst of the storm that you and I find ourselves in. And it's not really a question of whether we are in a storm. I think we all know that. The question for all of us that we have to ask is, when the storm comes, what will we hold on to? What will we hold on to? To this measure, we want to turn in our Bibles today to Psalm chapter 46, which is a prayer that speaks right to the heart of this moment that we find ourselves in. Let's jump in here with verse 1. Let's jump right into Psalms 46. Read with me. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Now, a refuge, it's a stronghold. It's a place where when you are under attack, you can go and find relief from the enemies. You can hide away and rest even though the battle is still raging. That's what a refuge is. But it's also a stronghold in the sense of a strategic place of battle against the enemy where you can look down upon them and know by your position that you have strength where you are. And the Bible says here that God is our ever-present refuge in times of trouble. Now, this refuge is not a place. This refuge the Bible speaks of is a person. And this person is an ever-present help in times of trouble because of what we have said over and over and over again in so many occasions in our church's history. And that is that God is always present and always at work among us. Our help from God is ever present because the God who makes these promises is ever present. Let's continue on in verse 2. It says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Now, over the last 8 months, you probably heard this refrain over and over and over again, and that is that we should not live in fear. And it's usually with Christian undertones, usually in reference to taking necessary precautions within a global pandemic, and it's presented sometimes as an expression of a lack of faith. But I love here how verses 2 and 3, they directly confront this mentality. What they're telling us is when this psalm, and really when the whole scriptures tell us not to fear, to not live in fear, it is not a denial of our reality, but rather the presence of a refuge within the reality that we are facing. You see, in ancient Near Eastern cultures, when these natural disasters are spoken of, it's usually a reference to the supernatural forces of chaos. It feels like those supernatural forces of chaos are still alive and well today. But the psalmist is telling us very clearly here, this chaos is real. God is not asking us to pretend like the chaos around us is not real, but rather what the psalmist wants us to see is that there is a God within the chaos. There is a God with power over the chaos, and this God will not leave our side. He continues to make this point in verse 4. Read with me. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, there's a good chance these words were written in Jerusalem, in the city of God, where God's temple was, where his holy presence dwelt. And what we see in these verses is there's a contrast. There's nations and kingdoms all around us that are rising and falling. But within the city of God, there is peace, there is provision, there is protection as we sit in God's presence. It's not because the city itself is some sort of impenetrable fortress. It's because the God that is within the city, the God that is with us, the God of Jacob, is our fortress, and he is a fortress that cannot be moved. And for us, this points our hope forward as the psalm continues. It says, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Man, I love those words. He makes wars cease. That is good news. I think in part these verses point to the hope that we have in Isaiah 2:4, that the Messiah will bring us to a future where they will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. From the earliest of civilization, we've resulted to violence against our enemies over and over and over again. But a day will come when the Prince of Peace reigns over all once and for all, and violence and death will be no more. And all of this, the fact that God is our refuge, our stronghold, our rest within the chaos, that He is our fortress that will never leave our side, even though creation itself is crumbling all around us, even though nations and kingdoms rise and fall, it leads us to the only command we see in this psalm in verse 10. It tells us, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That word in the Hebrew for be still, sometimes it's translated as cease striving. It's so much bigger than that. But at its core, the word means, if you just break it down, it means to let go. My friends, hear me out, please. When I say let go, letting go is not giving up. Letting go, it's not apathy. Letting go is not giving in to some sort of defeat. Letting go is letting God be God in the chaos that we find ourselves in, the chaos that we face. It's the promise we see in the scriptures over and over and over again. When the people of God find themselves up against impossible odds, vastly outnumbered and looking like their demise is near, God steps in and fights our battle for us. It's the promise we see to the Israelites standing between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. It says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." It's the promise to the nation of Israel in the midst of nations that sought their demise. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, it says, "You do not have to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." The message is clear then, and the message, my friends, it's clear now. This is God's fight. This is God's battle. And on every step of our journey, on every part of our story, when we lay down our weapons and we trust the God who fights for us in the midst of the chaos, we can find hope, restoration. Listen, I don't know who you're going to vote for, and I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but what I will tell you loudly and passionately as I can is that the Republican Party is not your refuge. The Democratic Party is not your refuge. Donald Trump is not your refuge. Joe Biden is not your refuge. America itself is not your refuge. And if you place your hope anywhere outside the God who is with you in the battle, in the storm, in the earthquake, in the chaos, that hope will let you down. Because there is another hope calling out to you and calling out to me in a moment like this. The hope that King Jesus is bringing. The hope of the kingdom Jesus has already inaugurated in His resurrection, the kingdom that is coming on earth as it is in heaven, and we get to join Him. So I will close, my friends, with this beautiful promise from Hebrews chapter 12 that tells us, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful." My friends, America is being shaken, but Jesus is not, because Jesus is Lord. And so, Lord, in this time, in this place, we turn to You. We pray for our country. Lord, we pray for healing and reconciliation. We pray for justice. We pray for truth to win out, Lord. We know, God, that you are sovereign over our stories, and so would you protect us? Would you protect the poor? Would you protect the powerless? And Lord, would you call us as Christians to leave the false hopes that we have found in our political lives, in our political parties, in our presidents, in our politicians, and we would turn once again to you, Jesus, as our Lord in the days ahead. Lord, no matter what happens in 2 days, we know that you are Lord, and we turn to you, the God in the middle of the chaos, our refuge and our strength. We turn to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Restoration this week, as you meet with your home churches, I just want to challenge you to do something simple. You can talk through these verses for sure, but pray. Pray for our country. Pray for one another. Do something radical. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the other side. Let the kingdom of Jesus rise up within you as you let go of the false hopes you have found in this world. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us, no matter what is ahead. That's good news. That's what I believe, and that's the message we're going to keep proclaiming together, no matter what happens, Restoration. Amen? We can find everything you need at restorationlex.com/this week. Also, find everything you need about our regathering plan at restorationlex.com/regathering, about reserving your seat for that. You can give all that stuff there on the website, kids resources. You know what I'm talking about. All that stuff there at restorationlex.com/this week. I love you all. I can't wait to see what God is doing in the days ahead. I'm confident that no matter what comes, that Jesus is restoring people who are called to restore the world, and he's inviting us to join him. Let's do it. Love y'all, and we'll see you in this space next week.